From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
War of Will chased home by Country House past the 16th. It's War of Will. War of Will from Country House, then Boyland. War of Will wows one of them again. Won the Risen Star from Country House.
Up on the outside, running is Outshine now, gaining ground, and toward the rail is Lord Dragon. Down to the wire, it's Tacitus going to the front. Tacitus strikes to the lead. Tacitus to win the Tampa Bay Derby.
From our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum. Presented by Red Brand Fence.
Spinoff was taking a short lead from a battling By My Standards. Swingo, then Country House. It's Spinoff and By My Standards for Gabriel Saez. It's By My Standards and Spinoff. By My Standards at 22-1 to win the Louisiana Derby.
With an eighth of a mile to the finish, Mind Control down at the rail, Instagram on the outside, Much Better's in between those two. The three of them continue to battle it out, and here's Haikal making a late run on the extreme outside. They come for the finish. It is Haikal to win the Gotham.
Now here's Jude Feld.
Good morning, HRN Nation. Welcome to the Equine Forum. This is your host, Jude Feld, in the Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios. And we're looking forward to a great Preakness Day. Happy Preakness, everybody. And we've got a fantastic show on tap for you here. Some interesting guests and some terrific interviews. I think you're really going to enjoy today's show. We'll have Bob Baffert and Tom Leach in the opening segment, and that was an interview that was conducted yesterday. Tom sat down with Bob and talked about his seven Preakness winners. I think there's a lot of good stuff in there. I really enjoyed it when I heard it, and I know you will too. We also have Kip Elser from Kirkwood Stables, and Kip is one of the premier consigners in our sport. He has babies at almost every sale, and he has a unique way of presenting them. Does a great job. I've had several friends that work for Kip over the years, and he's a real interesting guy. And we'll hear from him, and he'll talk about his consignment at the Fasig Tipton Mid-Atlantic sale coming up next week. Kelly Rubley will join us for a little bit. And then one of my most favorite humans on the face of the earth, John DeSantis, is going to be with us in the second half of the show. He's going to kick that off. John is an excellent handicapper. I've known him, well, since before I ever had my first bit of chewing tobacco, which he presented to me one day. not a great story. But in any case, John is a wonderful guy, great storyteller. We've been friends for many years and looking forward to shooting the breeze with John a little bit. After that, Max Hodge from Fasig Tipton's going to join us, and Max is a very interesting guy. He's a head honcho over at Fasig Tipton, and he's going to talk about the Mid-Atlantic sale and what we can look forward to there. And then in the final segment, Brad Cox, who had just a sensational day yesterday on Black Eyed Susan Day. About the only big race he didn't win was the Black Eyed Susan, but he had Kofife, who set a new track record, dropped the track record at Pimlico from 109 to 107.3. I mean, that's just ridiculous. She ran off the TV screen, and what a performance that was. So we'll talk to Brad about her. He also won one of the later stakes, and he's got two in today's Preakness. So lots of things to discuss with Brad Cox, and he'll be our final guest at the end of the show. So we've got a great show lined up. And we also want to talk about our poll question of the day. I thought we'd keep it simple this morning. Everybody's concentrating on handicapping and getting the scratches and all that stuff. So here's the poll question for the day. Who will win today's Preakness? And you have two choices. A Kentucky Derby participant, or B, a new shooter. Very simple. We all know that traditionally the horses that ran the Kentucky Derby have a little bit of an edge winning the Preakness. But I wanted to find out from you, HRN Nation, what you think. Is it going to be one of the horses that participated in the Kentucky Derby, or do you have your eye on a new shooter? And we'll talk about that later in the show. I wanted to go over the results of the Black Eyed Susan. And Point of Honor, Chestnut Filly by Curlin, out of a Bernardini mare, was the victress. She did it stylishly from off the pace. She was wide pretty much all the way, which seemed like maybe the place to be on the track yesterday at Pimlico. Horses that were rallying wide were doing quite well. But she ran a powerful race. She's one of those fillies that's been a hard knocker and just climbing the ladder continually from her first race on. She's trained by George Weaver, and she's owned by Eclipse Thoroughbred Partners of Aaron Wellman and Stetson Racing, LLC. And Aaron and I go back a long ways. He started working for me when he was about 5 or 6 years old at Del Mar, and all the way till he went to college. And I'm very proud of him. It was his second victory in the Black Eyed Susan, which is pretty cool. And Point of Honor got the job done there. So you're up to date on all the stuff that happened yesterday. Not all the races, but it was a great day. It was a record crowd. They had a record crowd at Pimlico yesterday. They set wagering records as well. So for all the naysayers that, this wasn't going to be a great Preakness and blah, 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 it sure kicked off in a fine fashion yesterday. Of course, we had some nice weather, which the last few years we haven't had. But a lot of people went to the races yesterday. They enjoyed themselves, and looks like we're going to have a fantastic day today. Well, without further ado, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back, and we'll get to the interview with Bob Baffert and Tom Leach.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Alter Nation was the co-second leading second crop Kentucky sire with 5 black type stakes winners, 9 black type horses, and well over $2.5 million in earnings. Alter Nation counted Grade 3 Super Derby winner Limation and Gulfstream Stakes winner Alter Moon as tops from his first crop of runners. Already this year, Alter Nation has the brilliant filly Serengeti Empress, easy winner of the Grade 2 Rachel Alexandra Stakes at the Fairgrounds by Distorted Humor. Millionaire, graded stakes winner, Alter Nation stands at Pin Oak Stud.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Grade 1 winner Lee traveled the world competing against the best of his generation. A graded stakes winner on both dirt and turf, he set a new track record in the Grade 1 Don Handicap and retired with earnings of more than $2.3 million. With yearlings bringing up to $650,000 and his first crop two-year-old selling up to $430,000, the sky's the limit for this promising young stallion. Lee, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Spendthrift Farm introduces its newest breeding program for 2019, the Safe Bet Program. breed to a fourth-year stallion, and watch his first crop of two-year-olds have measurable success on the racetrack in 2019. Or you won't owe the stud fee when your foal is born. To learn more about the Safe Bet program, visit SpendthriftFarm.com/safebet or call the farm today. That's SpendthriftFarm.com/safebet. Spendthrift's Farm.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by FarmPaint.com.
And they're in very close quarters, shoulder to shoulder, head to head, nose to nose. Freehouse, Silver Joy, Captain Virgin. Oh, it's close. Could be Silver Joy.
But here we go to the finish, and it's going to be real quiet. The Derby winner gets the Preakness.
Point given. The real Point Given has shown up at Pimlico to take the Preakness.
Here comes more.
You're looking at lucky! You're looking at lucky in the Preakness to win it by a half leg.
But American Pharoah is all by himself. He is 5 lengths in front as they come to the mire. And American Pharoah and Victor Espinosa have won the Preakness over Taylor.
It is Justify in front. Good Magic on the outside. Tenfold. Bravazo. Justify. He's unstoppable. He won the Preakness.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. This is your host, Jude Feld, and I'm in the Jimmy John's of Lexington studio here. And just, wow, goosebumps listening to that rejoin, Baffert 7, Preakness winners. And most of you that listen to me on a regular basis know the Preakness is my favorite Triple Crown race. And that was just a fantastic trip down memory lane. Yesterday, Tom Leach, the voice of the Kentucky Wildcats, and just a really cool guy, sat down with Bob Baffert and talked about those 7 victories. And here's what Bob had to say.
Your first Preakness was the last time there wasn't a Derby winner in this race. How does that change the vibe when the Derby winner isn't here?
My first Preakness winner was Silver Charm.
No, your first time you were here, that was 96, right?
Oh, the first time. Yes, that was weird. It was Grindstone and just beat me a nose. And he couldn't make it here, and I really wasn't sure where. I didn't really want to come here because my horse was pretty tired, but the owners wanted to take a shot at it, and I didn't really feel that strong about it. And he ran a bad fourth, I remember, and but it was exciting. I remember ABC, they mic'd me up for the race. And somebody afterwards said, when did you realize your horse wasn't going to win. And I remember saying that when the ABC guys took my microphone off at the 8th pole, that's when I knew I didn't have a chance to win. So it was exciting, but you know, we had just come off the Derby, and I'd almost won. I thought I won the Derby, and then the photo came up, and it was really disheartening, but it was a great experience coming here the first time.
So you had that first one under your belt. You came back in 97 with the Derby winner in Silver Charm, and that was a really loaded field that he beat.
You know, I remember I'd won the Derby, and I was in my hotel room, and I had a cassette tape, and I ordered a video machine in my room so I could watch it every day, all day. I'll never forget that. I just stayed in my little room at the hotel and invite people, hey, look at this, want to see the Derby with me? I was just so excited, I was just flying high. And then the day of the Derby, I walked up there thinking, like, what do you think? I said, I don't know, it doesn't matter, I don't care, you know, because I just won the Derby. So, you know, I said, I had no idea how he would run. And then when he won it, got up and won it, I thought he'd gotten beat, but I was watching the wrong wire or whatever, and so... And then when he won it, then it hit me like, wow, we're going for the Triple Crown. So that was like a – then it was just a totally different vibe. And so I called up friends, like, you know, I want to know how those other horses prepared, like Seattle Slough. And I remember calling my friend Steve Haskin. He says, could you find out how they worked those horses? And then when he told me how they got Secretariat ready in Seattle Slough, I said, if I do that, I'm not going to have a horse left. I mean, those are – Those are unbelievable horses, what they did with them to train that hard, you know, and still have something left. So I just stuck to my own way of doing it, and that's the way it went.
You came back in 98 with Real Quiet, same situation where you'd won the Derby, and he, as I recall, had a quite a rivalry there going that it developed with Victory Gallop. How confident were you coming into 98?
I was really confident he was going to win here in 98. He was just getting better. He really turned the corner like a week before the Derby, and he worked like lights out, and I really felt good about it because I had Indian Charlie. And then so I came here with him, and I remember he had number 11, and they said, you can't win from the 11. It's too far out. But I felt really, really strong, you know. And he got the job done, but, you know, that Victory Gallop came running. And I remember being on the track right after the race, and I heard Gary Stevens, who had picked up the mount on Victory Gallop, I heard him tell Elliot Walden, I said, I didn't ride him right. I said, now I know what to do. And I'll never forget listening to that. I'm going like, uh-oh, you know, like, but he was right.
Let's go to 2001, and point given, I have to think you were probably pretty confident, even though he didn't win the Derby, when you led him over for the Preakness.
You know what? That's probably the most disappointing Derby, because I had Congaree in him, and I thought there was no way I could lose that Derby, and the horse didn't run that day. Track was really hard and fast, and they were chasing a really fast pace, and he just didn't, you know. I remember Gary Stevens came back, he says, you know, boss, I know how to ride him now, you know. I says, I think I know what I need to do. I go, well that's good, you know. So when I came here and Monarcos had won it, and I was really, you know, when you come here you just want that, like, a revenge type redemption race. And so with Point Given, I felt really good. I really felt really confident about him. I go, you know, we'll get it done. And so, and he got out there. He got it done. And so that was really, it was satisfying to know that. But I really thought if I was going to win the Triple Crown, it was going to be with that horse. So, but unfortunately, we whiffed it in the Derby, and that happened.
War Emblem, a horse you pick up in the middle of April, an upset winner of the Derby. How were you feeling about him coming into the Preakness?
I felt really confident, you know, but I knew there was a speed horse that had come in from California, and they were going to throw some speed at him. So I remember, I think it was Jeff Bondi, a friend of mine, he brought a horse, but his horse flew out of the gate, and he just took off way in front of us, you know. So Victor Espinosa was able to just sit off of him, and he came and held on and won. So I felt really good about him. He came back and run well, and we were still flying high from winning the Derby, and everybody was a little bit upset because they felt like I stole the Derby because I bought the horse a month before. So I was coming in here with a little bit of, you know, people were sort of like not feeling like, but I think once he won the Preakness, and then he was legitimized himself.
2010, looking at Lucky, had just a brutal trip from the rail in the Derby. Was there a sense in your mind that you wanted to come here to show people that he was really as good as you thought he was?
Yeah, I was, you know, first few days after the Derby, I wasn't going to come here. I remember I said, he looks like he's pretty beat up, tired, and, you know, laying him down. And it took him about a week. And all of a sudden I stayed back a week, and all of a sudden I saw signs he was starting to come. And by Monday, I remember I sent a text out to the ownership group that we're going to go to the Preakness, get ready. Not only are we going to go to the Preakness, but we can't get beat. I mean, that's how good he was doing. And he got here, and I felt really good about it. That was an exciting win for me because we knew, you know, he was the best horse in the Derby, and, you know, he got to show it in the Preakness.
2015, you've got a horse that people are thinking just the budding superstar he turned out to be. And then the skies just opened up right before the race. How unsettling was that?
Well, American Pharoah, you know, I remember we won the Derby with him, and my wife asked me, I said, by the way, I said, I thought we had a super horse. How come he barely won the Derby? I said, you know, I was thinking the same way. I said, you know what? I really think he wants to just be on the lead. He just wants to get out there and go, so we're going to just let him run. And all of a sudden, the skies opened up, that they were on the track, and it was raining, and it was, I mean, it was pelting down, and they were out there, and I told Victor, you know what, just put him on the lead, and if he gets beat, it's my fault, and if he gets beat, I'll just go home. You know, once he won the Derby, I was satisfied with that, you know, so. But his race in the Preakness was probably the most impressive of all my winners. He went out there and he hooked the horse early and he went fast early. And then when he turned for home, he just kicked another gear and took off. And right there, I knew this is the horse that's going to get the Triple Crown. I mean, this now we're talking. This is a superior horse. And so then that's when the excitement started, because we knew we had a chance to win the Triple Crown.
So you had the Triple Crown and you come back with Justify in 18, and you think he's good enough to do that, but was the pressure less because you already had one?
It was, but you know, you still you always have pressure when you win the Derby. I thought, you know, here's a horse that could win the Triple Crown, you know, we just got to get through this one. And I, you know, it was raining every day, I couldn't do much with him. And so and I always told Mike Smith, you know, do me a favor, whatever you do, and I, you know, try to save a little bit for me. That's the smaller the margin you win by, it's easier for me as a trainer. And so we had the fog and all that was going on, the wet track, and turned for home. I couldn't see anything. And I said, man, I hope that white face is in front. And he made the lead, and then they disappeared again. And it looked like he barely held on, and I thought, wow. I was like, well, he won. But I don't think that doesn't look like a Triple Crown type of horse. I thought maybe that was it. And then when I talked to Mike Smith, I said, well, I guess that's it, huh? We got to the bottom of it. He says, oh, no, he could have won by more. And he had his horses pushing him out the whole way. And you know, so then I got excited. And then we got him back here to the barn. The horse looked like he didn't even run. So we knew there we got a chance to do it again.
So the casual fan would think, well, you'd want to win by as much as you could, but you wanted to win by a small margin, you told Mike, to make sure there was more gas in the tank.
Yeah, he said he cut a little close. He didn't see Bravazo come in late, but he's like, I knew I had those other horses measured, and the other, I didn't know it was that close, but once the horse got to him, he says he kicked back on again, so and nobody saw that, so that was, then he made, you know, he gave us a little confidence that we still had a chance.
Could get the eighth Preakness with Improbable. Do those kinds of records still mean big things to you?
I know, to me it means, it's more for the ownership group. I want to win it for them because it's exciting, and the Preakness, the Classics are so exciting. And you know, once you put that saddle on them, you know, you're not thinking about who's in the race or nothing. You'd like to just turn for home, and that rush of watching your horse in the lead and winning the race, I mean, there's not a better feeling or excitement winning these races. So you know, hopefully that, you know, the horse is doing really well, and he is a slight favorite, but I think he's doing really well, and he could, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he could win it.
I'm guessing you have had a chance to interact with championship coaches in other sports. I know Belichick's around the track some, for example. Any of those guys ever ask you anything that kind of surprised you or was particularly interesting to you?
You know, I had the coach of the New Orleans Saints.
Sean Payton.
Sean Payton. A couple of years ago, he was at the Derby draw with the owner of the horse that had, I think it was the year of, might have been the year of Farrell, maybe. I'm not sure. They had a horse in there. And he asked me about, like, when I trained him, he asked me a question about how I prepare him. And I remember talking to him about it, you know, how, and so.
What's the similarities or the differences?
Yeah, I just, you know, what do you do with them? Do you back off or do you do whatever? But he's the only one. And Belichick, we've hung out with him, and I said the only difference in my sport is that, you know, you've never been on the sideline trying to make a call, and some guy's been drinking all day wants to take a selfie with you. I said that's the way it is, and you have to be nice to everybody. I said that's the difference.
How do you see this Preakness, and where does Improbable fit into the mix?
I think there's a lot of speed in there. There's a lot of horses with a sort of the same style, you know. So that's why the break's going to be so important.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Bob Baffert with Tom Leach, and what a interesting interview that was to find out his feelings between each one of his Preakness victories. And he talked early on about Grindstone beating Cavaneer at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby, and then bringing Cavaneer to the Preakness. And Cavaneer was a really cool California bred horse, and Bob was very high on him. And when I was training, I actually beat Cavaneer twice with a horse named Ready to Order, who's one of my favorites. I trained his mother, I trained his father, I've delivered him the whole nine yards. I mean, I was with that horse from day one, and he beat Cavaneer twice. So there was probably nobody on earth that was rooting harder for Cavaneer to win the Derby than I was. Unfortunately, my horse stepped on a shoe on the training track at Santa Anita and didn't quite make the race. He got a really bad bruised foot, and I had to give him time off. He did win the Derby, however, he won the Pomona Derby, and that was a lot of fun. Anyway, thanks to Tom for that interview. Good job by him, and interesting stuff by Bob. And now it's time for the Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you by the Lexus Store of Lexington. Here's Pete Coolis.
In early August of 1919, Samuel D. Riddle's big chestnut two-year-old Man of War captured his sixth straight race, and continuing on unbeaten, carried 130 pounds, unheard of, by the way, of current racing practice, to that win in the $10,000 United States Hotel Stakes at Saratoga. The speed and stamina of Big Red had already become legendary, but there were horsemen who had reservations as to his ability to sustain his remarkable speed over a distance of ground. And though self-same doubters felt there would be a real test in his forthcoming scheduled races, the Sanford and the Hopeful, when he would face the very best two-year-olds in training at the time. The son of Fair Play was a veritable giant, standing better than 16 hands and weighing in at nearly 1,100 pounds. He looked more like a four-year-old rather than a two-year-old. Oh, there were challengers to his credentials, all right. Trainer Jimmy Rowe had two in A Wild Air and Upset, although Man of War had whipped Upset in the aforementioned United States Hotel. And then there was Miss Jemima. On Saturday, August 13, 1919, seven horses answered the call to post in the Sanford Memorial. One of the meeting's largest crowds, better than 20,000, were on hand to view the attempt of the great Riddle two-year-old to remain unscathed. John Madden had Captain Alcock in the field, and the most likely contenders were Golden Broom at 2-1 and Upset, who was 7-1. Man of War was the post-time odds-on choice with the betting public at 1-2. Golden Broom was the inside horse with Frankie Ambrose in the irons. Man of War was in post 6 with his regular rider Johnny Loftus in the saddle. Golden Broom acted up considerably both in the post parade and at the start, showing both his nervousness and his greenness. But when the flag dropped at the start, Golden Broom was away winging. By the time the field had gone a bare 16th of a mile, Ambrose had the speedy youngster 2 lengths in front. Upset, Harry Payne Whitney's fine juvenile, who was also away like a rocket, and settled into second place with Donna Connor third. Man of War had gotten away poorly, highly unusual for the Riddle standard bearer, almost being left at the post. By the time Loftus had Big Red settled into stride, he was sixth as the field hit the clubhouse turn. By the time the field swung off the turn into the stretch run, Golden Broom was still winging away clearly in front. Man of War had improved his position to third, cutting down the margin with every stride. It was Golden Brown by a length, Upset by an open two, and Man of War third. The rest of the field had given up the chase in mid-stretch, with Man of War second. Upset had Man of War by a length and a half at the 16th pole, and Loftus dug in on Big Red, asking the call for everything he had. 100 feet from the wire, the margin was 3/4 of a length, but Man of War was running out of real estate. Upset was hanging on tenaciously. As they hit the wire, it was Upset, the number 4 horse of Harry Payne Whitney, still a neck in front of Man of War, who was gaining slowly. Golden Brown had barely enough left to hang on for third. Captain Alcock finished fourth. The horse appropriately named Upset had indeed lived up to his moniker, and forever, from that day on, became part of a thoroughbred lore, legend, and mystique as the only horse ever to defeat Man of War. It all happened in the Sanford at Saratoga, August 13, 1919. a great moment in thoroughbred racing.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Penna here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Bloom Racing.
Sky Diamonds takes the lead. Sky Diamonds to win going away.
Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Midnight Bizou with another assertive final furlong. The top filly of the meet deservedly wins the Grade 1 Santa Anita Oaks.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now. Get in on the action at BloomRacing.com.
The sixth running of the Grade 2 Penn Mile is set for Saturday, June 1st at Hollywood Casino at Penn National, featuring some of the best three-year-old turf horses in the country. A day that features four match series races in addition to the Penn Mile and Penn Oaks. Plus, there will be three all-stakes pick fours with a 15% takeout. With a special first post of 2:45 p.m. Eastern, you won't want to miss this exciting day at Hollywood Casino at Penn National. It's the Grade 2 $500,000 Penn Mile Saturday, June 1st at Hollywood Casino at Penn National.
Power.
Cara Conti has won.
Passion.
It's Cara Conti winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Cara Conti and O'Donnell. Cara Conti.
Cara Conti, a son of Bernstein out of a Sunday Silence mare with five-time champion Miesque as his third dam. Cara Conti recorded three Grade 1 victories while earning more than $1.9 million. A precocious juvenile, Cara Conti recorded a Grade 1 win at 2 before taking the prestigious French 2000 Guineas at 3, followed by an electrifying stretch run in the Breeders' Cup Mile to defeat older horses with a final time of 1:32 4/5. First crop yearlings by Cara Conti sold for up to $220,000, and his first two-year-olds impressed at the OBS March sale, with a filly breezing in 9 4/5 seconds and selling for $365,000 to Breeze Easy LLC. Cara Conti, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by FarmPaint.com.
For home they come, Heavy Metal the leader. Up on the outside, Montezaza about a half length away. Cole Front trying to finish on, followed by Kim Bear. They go to the 270, and Heavy Metal kicks up a gear, gets out by two. Cole Front begins to finish on. Montezaza drops off as Heavy Metal clear in the Godolphin Mile. Cole Front from the USA coming hard. Heavy Metal in front. Cole Front with every bound getting there. Cole Front goes up, grabs the front, and Cole Front wins it for the US. Cole Front over Heavy Metal. They're beaten off Montezar. Close up, Kim Bear, Secret Ambition, Muzzle Watch. Next to come in was Legrado, followed by True Timber, then Eben Malik. Noncono Yumo missed the start and from then was in a lot of trouble. Well back was Major Partnership and a good curry.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. This is your host, Jude Feld, and I'm in the Jimmy Johns of Lexington studio. And that was Colefront winning the Godolphin Mile, and Colefront has a soft spot in the heart of our next guest, Kip Elser, who's one of the most honest and wonderful bloodstock agents we have in our business. And I've known Kip a long time. I've known a lot of people that have worked for Kip, and nobody's ever said anything bad about him. So I'm happy to be joined right now by Kip Elser of Kirkwood Stables. What'd you think of that rejoin, huh?
Oh, boy, I'm glad I turned it on a little early. That's a great call, Jude.
Yeah, that guy went on forever.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he didn't tell you what the horse had for breakfast, but That was a lot of fun. A big day for you.
It certainly was. He was just anyway. He was always a nice horse, and Todd and the team have been very patient with him, and sure looks like it's been worth it. He's a nice horse.
Well, you've had a lot of nice horses over the years. You've sold many, and now we've got the Mid-Atlantic sale coming up, which is kind of right in your neighborhood, so to speak. Talk about what you got going and what people can look forward to as they head over there.
Well, first of all, we've got Cold Front's sister, but Pioneer of the Nile, who breezed very well here the other day. She's a big, strong, fast filly. We're very excited to have her out in public. We've got a very good representative, top to bottom, dirt, grass, colts, fillies, any budget for anybody. I'm real pleased with the group overall. Union Rags colt breezed very fast. Competitive Edge filly is a top class filly. Those Competitive Edges have been selling very well. Look like they all get over the racetrack very well. I'm just kind of reading down the list here. Orb Philly's full sister, I'm sorry, has won two straight in New York. The Hip 18, the Twirling Candy's sister, won the 5/8 on the grass sprint stake at Churchill last week for Michelle Lovell. So that's exciting. We got a mix of state bred, New York breds, and anyway, just a nice group of horses.
That's great. And you are so careful with your horses, conservative, you might say, really tailor the program for each horse. Talk about your preparation and what goes into it.
Well, we start early. The preparation is really, it's the number of days that kids go to school and reinforce their lessons that really makes the difference when you come out the other end. I believed that for years, and that's the way we do it. They've got to go to school a long time before you got to give a kid a lot of days in school before you ask him to take any exams. If you give the exam too early, he cannot pass. We believe in a lot of foundation before we ask any serious questions or give any exams, as it were. I think the high school coach or teacher analogy works very well.
Yeah, I always believe too that starting the yearlings early and just going slow with them, the earlier you start, the slower you can go, which is a kind of a big edge, I think. And I used to start breaking the babies in July, when Delmar started, and just take it easy from there, and they were miles ahead of everybody else as they approached the fall. So you could turn some out if you wanted to, and you didn't feel like you were losing a lot, and that's a great way to do it, I think.
Well, we like it, and every day that somebody coughs or they grab a heel or something happens and you're going to miss a few days, you've got days in the bank already, and you don't have to press to catch up. That's really the secret.
Yeah, that's kind of the secret for all of horse racing, right?
Yeah, it'll make you be patient one way or the other.
Yeah, they always say that the horses will make you wait. You've had tremendous luck at the Mid-Atlantic sale. You've sold some really good horses. The Mucho Gusto comes to mind. I mean, he's the one that everybody that's listening right now has probably heard of. Talk about some of your successes.
Well, he's obviously the most recent, and he's just a really, really nice colt. Actually, Bob left him in California for this trip, and he runs... He runs today in the Las Barrera going 7/8 out there. But he was a really nice horse here. Bob and Mr. Peterson gave plenty of money for him. a year ago today and or a year ago tomorrow, as it were. And it looks like they were right. He's won a couple of good stakes and second in a grade one, and looks like he's the chalk out there today. Awful nice horse. We're glad to have helped him get started.
Yeah, well, he's shown he's got ability, and he just needs the patience to develop into a really nice horse as he gets older, and he seems like he's going to be that kind of horse.
From everything we saw when we had him, you know, it's a steep pyramid, you know that. But everything we saw of him when he was here, he kept improving a little bit all the time.
So your consignment, as we head now, I mean, this is basically 2-year-old season, but then we'll have Saratoga and the fall yearling sales. How's it looking? How's it shaping up?
Well, I think there's a very strong market in all disciplines at all levels. So the perceived top of any sale are going to be very expensive, and the job is to get around and try to find a few that are maybe undervalued in whichever market you're operating in. This is our last 2-year-old sale in the Northern Hemisphere season, and we've got a few yearlings down in New Zealand that are up and going now, so we'll be started to buy yearlings here at the same time we're selling 2-year-olds in October, November down in New Zealand. So we've got plenty of action here.
Yeah, I forgot about that New Zealand thing you got going on. Talk about that. Has that been a lot of fun? Is it a lot of travel and back and forth?
Well, it's great. These horses will take you anywhere in the world you let them. And you just got to use your imagination a little bit and say, well, let's roll the dice. Let's give this a try. We've done lots of different things. We sold in Europe years ago and started that. We sold very successfully in South Africa for quite a few years. Tried Australia, and that just didn't work. So we moved on across the Tasman Sea, and we had a very, very good year over there this year with help from some local guys in New Zealand. So we're going to do that again. It's a wonderful country over there. It's great fun.
Yeah, and they love their racing there too. It's really a great place to race. The people love their sport there.
Every corner, there's a betting shop on every corner, and everybody is reading the racing pages in the local paper.
That's great. It's nice to be in a place like that where racing has a big focus. I know when I go down to Barbados, and you've been to Barbados too, people really love going to the races. It's one of the big things to do on the island, and it is featured in all the sports sections. It's not like here anymore where things kind of have fallen by the wayside, but it's fun to be in that environment.
Well, like I said, these horses will take you anywhere in the world you let them.
So when you're preparing for these sales, you have to be almost like a trainer, right, with a condition book and try to decide which horse is going to suit which sale. And that can come with preparation, or it can come with development. How does that work?
Well, you start off with, everybody's in the same freshman class, and then they sort of start to sort themselves out with who's going to be a little bit more of an early developer and who's going to need a little bit more time to come around. Some may need a little different surface. For instance, the Gulfstream dirt surface is very different than the one here in Maryland, and the timing is quite a bit different. The OBS sales on their Polytrack are different again. And a lot of it's a guess between between timing and surface. Just kind of watch them as you go and see who you think fits where.
And then you also have to work with the sales companies, right? They want to sometimes put a horse in a certain sale, and you may not want to be in that sale, or you may want to put a horse in a different sale. How do you work that out?
We're working together with the sales companies, whether it's Phasic, Phasic, Keeneland, or OBS. We're all trying to put the best product we can in front of the customers, so we don't really have too much trouble picking where we go with each. Anyway, we just put our heads together and see who we think fits where.
Yeah, well, you're so highly respected at this point too that the sales company probably has to, you know, listen to you, listen to what you have to say, because they know that you have excellent help, that you are very thoughtful about your horses, that you do a great job, and you're trying to help them put the best product forward. So I would imagine your opinion goes a long way.
Well, I hope so. there aren't too many fusses about who goes where.
That's good. That's always good. It's always good to have everybody on the same page.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Well, we wish you all the best next week and on into the future. It's always a pleasure to catch up with you. I'll probably see you at Saratoga, if not before. I just can't say enough about your consignment. The horses are always turned out great. They are well cared for their entire time with you, and people are going to be very happy when they come to see you and your horses, because they can expect the best. So appreciate the time this morning.
We invite any and all to come visit.
Yeah, and then you have a website too. What if they want to check out your website? What is it?
KirkwoodStables.com.
There you go. Well, that's, you know,
this week's sale is listed on there with Breeze videos and times and pedigrees. And all the emails and phone numbers are on there. Anybody wants to give us a call, please do.
Yep. You won't be disappointed. Thanks, Kip. Appreciate the time.
Great to talk to you, Jude. Thanks.
All right. Kip Elser from Kirkwood Stables. If you're going to the Mid-Atlantic sale, stop by his barn and check it out. Very nice operation. You'll be very pleased with what you see there. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by FarmPaint.com.
Springtime tips and fun facts from Paul, Kristen, and Dexter at Total Wine & More.
Did you know there were over 1 million bubbles in a glass of champagne? Did someone say brunch?
Wine is made in virtually every country in the world, and I'm ready to give you a tour to find the right one.
Ham's sweet and salty richness pairs perfectly with a juicy Pinot Noir.
Now with 2 locations in Lexington. Visit our newest store in Hamburg, off Sir Barton Way. Shop online at TotalWine.com. The selection is ridiculous. Cheers!
Broken Vow continues to deliver rock-solid results. The top 10 Son of Unbridled has sired nearly 150 black-type stakes horses, 75 black-type stakes winners, and over $71 million in earnings. Among those sired by Broken Vow last season were Chocolate Martini, winner of the Grade 2 Fairgrounds Oaks, and Life in Shambles, winner of the Grade 3 Fall Highweight. Sire of Eclipse Champion Champagne Room, Broken Vow has sired additional Grade 1 winners, Unbridled Belle, Rosalind, Sassy Image, and Cotton Blossom. Broken Vow, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
And the filly did it! Rachel Alexandra has the Spinner, the Kentucky Derby winner.
Who can forget Rachel Alexandra's stunning victory in the 2019 Preakness? She is one of 22 Grade 1 winners for her sire, Medaglia d'Oro. And on this 10-year anniversary of her brilliant win at Old Hilltop, Rachel Alexandra is your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Medaglia d'Oro is the horse with the Midas touch. In 2018, Medaglia d'Oro joined Northern Dancer, Stormcat, and AP Indy as the only stallions to ever sire as many as $8 million yearlings in a single year. Watch for his latest crop of yearlings at the upcoming select sales. Learn more about Medaglia d'Oro and all the Darley Stallions at DarleyAmerica.com.
This is Dale Romans, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by FarmPaint.com.
They move on around the turn. Desert Vine down along the rail. That big on the outside. Marfa coming on as they turn for home. Debuted Testimony down along the inside. They come through the lane. It's Desert Vine. Debuted Testimony charging along the rail. Marfa's on the outside. Debuted Testimony down along the rail. Desert Vine on the outside. It's Debuted Testimony. He's got the lead by two. Desert Vine is second. Debuted Testimony in front. Here's the finish. Debuted Testimony wins it. Desert Vine was second. And High Honors came on. Debuted Testimony wins the Preakness for 1983.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. This is your host, Jude Feld. I'm in the Jimmy Johns of Lexington studio. And, wow, Deputed Testimony. The last Maryland bred to win the Preakness. Only two Maryland breds have ever won the Preakness. He was the last one in 1983. He beat Desert Wine, who was a California bred, trained by my friend Jerry Fanning. And, geez, that brings back a lot of memories. Deputed Testimony, really hard knocking horse, and that was a memorable Preakness. Our industry star of the week this week, presented by Stuart Morris, is Kelly Rubley, who trains Always Mining, and Always Mining is a Maryland bred, and will try to make more history by winning the Preakness. Another Maryland bred to win the Preakness, and also make Kelly Rubley the first female trainer to win a Triple Crown race. So that's pretty cool. We were able to catch up with Kelly earlier this week, and here's what she had to say.
You were teaching 8th grade science.
Correct.
Spent some time as a principal too, if I'm not mistaken.
Assistant, yes.
Assistant principal, yeah. Tell me about those days and what made you make the switch to horse racing.
Well, there's not much to tell. You know, it wasn't my passion. I had gotten my master's in secondary education and, you know, found a job as a middle school teacher right away, and kind of even in year one realized that that was not going to be my end goal. So looking at the big picture and trying to figure out what to do with my education degree, it seemed a natural path to get my administrative degree and try that aspect of it. And, you know, I did that for about 3 years and decided that I just needed to make a change completely, which is how I ended up just kind of taking a year and catching my breath in Pennsylvania and doing a little bit of fox hunting. And
Wow.
I found this place, this area, when I was eventing. I used to travel down here every weekend with my horse and compete, and kind of fell in love with the area. And so it's kind of a natural path that, you know, I'd move down here, kind of figure out what I was going to do, and then started working for Barclay.
Did you have an interest in horses from a very young age?
Since I can remember.
Really?
Yes.
Really? How about your family? Were they into it at all?
Not at all. I'm the only horse person in the family, I guess.
Wow. No kidding.
Yeah.
Wow. So we talked about this before we came on air, but you said that growing up in New York, kind of up in northern New York, right, almost in Canada, right, is where Pulaski is that right?
It's close.
Getting close?
Yeah.
Yeah, up that way. Will there be many people cheering for you here on Saturday from the Pulaski, New York area?
You know, interestingly, this week has been a lot of media, and a lot of nice articles have been written about me. So it's funny because people that are contacting me from home that I barely even remember them. So it's nice to see that, you know, they're starting to catch on and see where we're going.
Are they asking for tickets?
No. I couldn't get them if they wanted them.
How many people will be here on Saturday to support you? Do you know? Friends, family, and anybody like that?
I honestly don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to have a lot of time to spend with friends and family. So,
good point.
I'm certainly not encouraging a lot of people to visit, honestly.
Okay, so tell me about this side of the story then. We talked about how when you were starting out 5 years ago, things were, you know, kind of new. You'd work with Barkley a little bit, but going out on your own, things were brand new to you. Now here you are with a chance to run a horse in the middle jewel of horse racing, Triple Crown. What's the experience been like so far?
It's been a great ride. I mean, I think that it's pretty amazing that we've made it this far in a short period of time. And, you know, I guess there's a lot of luck involved because nobody knew when they sent this horse to me that he was going to be what he is. And I think I'm just really fortunate to have stumbled upon this opportunity.
Yeah, that's a good point. He didn't start his career with you. What do you remember about the first time you got a chance to see Always Mining?
Well, you know, he wasn't as mature as he is now. He came in and he was kind of a lot of legs, and you could tell that there was he had a presence when he galloped. You could tell he had a really beautiful gallop and a great big stride, but he just wasn't putting it all together quite yet. And I think that he's continued to improve the entire time he's been with us as far as just maturing, and he's starting to fill out, and he's really looking like a phenomenal animal now.
What's been the key to the 6-race win streak that he's on now?
Boy, I wish I knew.
You must have a hand in it somewhere, though, right?
I hope. But, no, he's just quite a horse. You know, he very relaxed, very classy horse to be around, and I think he takes care of himself a little bit like that. So he's made my job quite easy, honestly.
One of the articles that was written about you was in the Baltimore Sun, and you had a quote in there that I loved. You said that his confidence level, talking about Always Mining, his confidence level is pretty high right now.
It is.
You can really tell?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely.
How so?
He just has this presence about him now. I mean, when he walks to the track, he's in no hurry. He doesn't, you know, the world waits for him. And he's right. We do.
Yeah. Yeah. How about your confidence level?
Well, you know, I think that winning the Tessio the way he did has helped my confidence level a little bit. Looking at this horse's numbers, he fits. So we're really excited to have this opportunity with a horse that I think really deserves a shot here. So I guess my confidence level is high, but not crazy.
They actually talked about, in that same article in the Baltimore Sun, they talked about Greg and Caroline Bentley, who are the owners of Always Mining. And they talked about this, the aspect of him being a Maryland bred, talking about Always Mining. He's a Maryland bred. And they thought, you know what? We thought about putting him on the Derby trail, but we decided we're going to wait for the Preakness instead because he is a Maryland bred, and it would be cool to win this race with a horse that was bred in the state.
Absolutely. Sure, we toyed around with some of the prep races for the Derby, but ultimately the horse is a gelding. We're looking at the longevity of the horse. You know, there's a lot of races left in the year, and we're hoping to have a great career with him next year and hopefully years after that. So they were wonderful in allowing us to take the more natural path through Maryland. And they are very happy to be representing Maryland with this Maryland bred. I mean, he does seem to be an exceptional Maryland bred.
That was Kelly Rubley, who trains Always Mining in today's Preakness. Just an outstanding horse. You look at his form and it almost gives you chills. He just keeps getting better and better as time goes on. And because Kelly's done such a great job, she is the Stuart Morris Industry Star of the Week. And Stuart Morris wants to remind you that he offers a boutique, full-service bloodstock operation and would like to thank his owners, clients, and team. Their success is because of you. With multiple stakes horses over the past 3 years, including Henley's Joy, Our Brain Trust, and Malagasy, Stuart Morris is your source for success at the highest levels. Visit the Stuart Morris consignment at all major sales. And thanks to Mike Penna for that interview. Just a really cool person, Kelly Rubley, and she's got a big shot at the Preakness today. We wish her all the best. This is Jude Feld and the Jimmy Johns of Lexington Studio. We're back with hour two right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Game winner on the outside takes the lead. On the inside, it's Nick Scone, who fights on but will be second best as they come down to the line. He doesn't know how to lose. He's game winner in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
Second is Bodie Express. He's running a huge race. Down at the inside in Code of Honor. Hidden Scroll at a one-pace. Bourbon War on the outside. But Maximum Security proves he's the real deal with a gate-to-wire win in the Florida Derby.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And Code of Honor is on to the front. Hidden Scroll trying to hold on to second. Here's Bourbon War unleashing a big run down the center, but Code of Honor is going to hang on to win the Fountain of Youth three parts of a length.
Long Range Toddy is running a very big one in the center of the track. Improbable. Long Range Toddy trying to gun him down. Improbable. Here's Long Range Toddy.
Now here's Jude Feld.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. This is Jude Feld in the Jimmy John's of Lexington studio, and I'm going to be joined by one of my most favorite humans on the planet, John DeSantis. We've been friends a long time, longer than we probably both care to remember. Johnny, welcome.
Jude, what a fantastic introduction. I don't know if I can live up to that building. But I have a question for you. That Jimmy John's studio, do you guys have like meats and bread and cheeses and all hanging around you?
No. Like an Italian deli? No, we actually don't. Yeah. Most of the decorations in here are pictures of mine, some of my horses that I trained, and pictures of Bill Shoemaker, and a few articles. We got Secretariat over here on my right, and Kurt Becker donated us an old advertisement for Cool Cigarettes. Mr. Cool will broadcast the Kentucky Derby. This was Derby Day, May 2nd, and the picture of the horse on the poster is Omaha. So you know how old that thing is. So he picked that up at a antique mall or something in Illinois when he was on his travels, and he donated that to the studio. We got a lot of cool stuff in here, so.
Well, I guess that's better than the meat angle.
Yeah, no meat. You can actually go out with your friends after you leave the studio. You don't need a shower. So what's going on? Any good races today?
Yeah, well, we got this three-year-old race and a couple of supporting stakes. That, you know what's the main thing today? And this is for anyone, a veteran of the Preakness and the Black Eyed Susan. We're going to get through this with no rain.
Yeah,
and that's kind of like that's a big moment.
It is. My shoes from Preakness are legendary. I have one pair that's just almost annihilated, but they come out when I have to cover the Preakness from Pimlico. It's been a disaster the last couple of years, but yeah, it looks like it's going to be a beautiful day today, and that is just fantastic news.
You know, we had, you remember the American Pharoah year, right before the race, that deluge that came in, that squall, and it just, the rain was coming down and the wind was blowing, and my wife and I were in one of those tents on the first turn, like elevated up in the air, and the tent was swaying back and forth, and she was terrified. She looked at me, I said, what's wrong? She said, I'm scared. I said, don't worry about it. I said, you're safe. She said, oh, no, you know, this tent could go down. Remember that Dallas Cowboys training facility tent went down and all the people were hurt and killed. I said, you have nothing to worry about. She said, how do you know? I said, because if you were to die, if this tent were to go down and you were to die, I'd be single and very, very wealthy. And God's not going to let that happen to me.
That's right. You and your wife, you have an interesting relationship. I think that's great how you guys communicate to one another.
Yeah, yeah. She knows how to handle me. She goes along with my jokes.
And that's not easy to do. You're a bigger than life personality. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'll tell that to my banker next time he asks for my payment.
Yeah, you can't buy Winter Circle pictures with that, can you? Well, you know, you're such a good handicapper, and your breaking the eggs thing has caught hold. I mean, I see people using that expression on Twitter all the time, and I just laugh when I see it. do you like any? We'll do the Preakness last. Is there anything on the undercard that sticks out to you, or a horse that you're keeping your eye on?
You know, sticking out really is kind of reaching. I thought that in the 11th, I thought a preamble, the number 8, I was looking forward to this horse running because those are some on the – I like to use the Thoroughgraph sheets. Those are some incredibly fast races. And if this horse can continue to run those kinds of races, as a 3-year-old, the preamble there is going to have a huge – you know, those are Mattoli kind of numbers that preamble has run early in his career. So I'm looking forward to watching him today, and he'll probably be a single in whatever I do, you know, in those races. Yesterday, you know, I could kick myself. You know, we had Chad Brown run 1-2 in a turf race. I mean, when has that ever happened before? where have you seen this movie before? You know, how could you not have pounded that exacta? But, you know, he's got some runners today that you have to keep your eye on. Barca in the, what is that, the 11th or the 10th race at Pimlico, number 9, Barca. You know, it's interesting because this Phillies races overseas, they're in very tough company, Group 1s and in France, but she hasn't really run that fast. And she's not really rated that high in some of these time form numbers. She ran once in this country over a yielding course. It was a horrible race. It's almost like this one is the form is too bad to believe. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, makes perfect sense to me. Because I kind of agree with you. I mean, I don't think you can go by her last race really. And her works have just been sensational since they gave her a little rest.
Yeah, those bullets, and she's 4-for-8 in lifetime. And you got to remember, over there, she's beating Colts. She's beating Group 1, or she's competing against Group 1 Phillies. And she's trained by a guy who is unbelievable with turf horses and ridden by one of the top jocks in the country. So, you know, I'm going to have to give her another look. She's 6-to-1 because I don't think the form matches up with what the ability is. I could see Brown after the race telling owners Peter Brandt and Alan Stable, telling them, you know, I'm going to put her away again and just get her right, and this wasn't right, or she, you know, something's not right there. She should have run better than that, so I'm not buying that for him. I think those are kind of the ones that I'm kind of looking forward to later in the card.
Yeah, that's good. That's good to know. Now we come to the Preakness, and I don't know about you, but I've been really excited about this race for the last 2 weeks. I don't know if it's partially because I'm sick of hearing about the DQ, or if I like the fact that it's a wide open betting race, that there's so many horses that have a chance that you could make a case for. I don't know what it is, but I've really been looking forward to this race. How about you?
Yeah, I agree. I really have too. I think the big field for a Preakness, which is unusual, and the absence of a 4-to-5 shot, 3-to-5 shot, that's unusual for a Preakness and refreshing. Certainly, I enjoy watching American Pharoah perform or Justify or, you know, any of the Derby winners who go to Preakness and romp. It's a different feeling because you're watching outstanding athletic talent and greatness, you know, before your eyes, if you get to see him. I mean, Justify, we didn't see much of his race last year because he ran through the fog mostly. But, you know, it's a different kind of entertainment. This is a challenging handicapping race, I think. This is a challenging wagering race where if you can get this one right, if you can figure this puzzle out, you are going to make some money. There's little doubt about that because there are some horses that are big prices in here. Whether I like them or other people like them, people that I respect, their opinions, there are some prices to be had in here. And even if it comes favorite, second choice, third choice, fourth choice, it's going to be a decent payoff. And there's so many ways to look at this race. We can get into it, when you want. But it's interesting. So I feel like you feel. I'm excited.
Yeah. I mean, there's some really talented new shooters. The horses that ran in the Derby, I think they all kind of have a chance in some way. But I've been kind of taken with Always Mining. I mean, this horse is just overpowering, it seems like.
He's one that you can hardly knock. I mean, if you dug around, if you're going to knock him, if you're going to say something negative about him, I think the only thing you could maybe say is that, his last two races are really the only ones that kind of from a figure standpoint, and he's had 12 races, but he's developed. He's come along beautifully for, a couple different trainers, and he's blossomed for Kelly Rubley and winning the Federico Tessio. I know he wasn't beating much, but he sat, which is a new dimension. He showed that he hadn't showed before. And then he just drew off in the lane. He looked spectacular drawing off. So, he's one of the ones. The question is, and I don't know if this is a correct analogy, but what is that Mike Tyson used to say? Everyone has a plan until you get punched in the face. And he's going to get punched in the face today. This is a different group, but how he responds is really the question I can't answer because he's looked so sensational. But this is there's going to be speed in front of him. There's going to be speed next to him, and there's going to be closers that he hasn't seen before. So real challenges. Is he up to the task? I don't know. And if they're going to give you 8-1 to find out, I could easily see, including him in whatever you do.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think he's very interesting, and especially at the price. I don't know if the locals are going to, hop aboard him because they love him so much, or if they're going to be like most people and say, well, he's been running at Laurel and he hasn't been facing the absolute top competition. So of the four horses that ran in the Derby, who do you like amongst them?
Well, this is the other tough part about this is that your favorite, Improbable, you really, again, this guy has run fast enough. He's run faster on a regular basis than anyone else. So he's the fastest horse. He's run against top competition his whole career. All those Santa Anita races. He won the Street Sense, as a 2-year-old. He's beaten a neck in the Rebel, beaten a length in the Arkansas Derby, fifth in the Kentucky Derby with a trip that, it wasn't a troubled trip, but it wasn't a smooth trip. It was just he was in behind horses and he had to check like the whole way. He was never really comfortable. He never really got to settle into that, long, lengthy, beautiful stride. He was always kind of jostling around looking for somewhere to go. Then when he finally got clear, he didn't really kick, for my money. He didn't really fire because he finally got out in the open and he just didn't, where was all that pent-up energy? It just wasn't there. He didn't back up. He didn't back up, but he didn't go on. So the distance, it's shorter today, about a football field shorter. That's going to help him because I don't think distance is his friend. There's a feeling. I don't know if you have the same. It's just a feeling like this is not one of your Bob Baffert Preakness horses. This is a different kind. He doesn't dominate this group, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I don't think Bob thinks so.
Agreed. The comments he's made, certainly not confident.
Right.
Now, is he cold watering everyone? I don't think so. I don't think so. I think he's being honest. And Bob's always been pretty honest with the media and things he says.
Yeah, I find him to be that way as well. Yeah, he certainly wasn't brimming with the usual Baffert bravado, and then, you know, the work 51-4. I always wonder.
Yeah, what was that all about?
Yeah, why do people work horses in between? And then if you're going to work them. Don't work them 51-4. But hey, he's won seven of them. I've won zero of them. So.
Yeah. Well, no, I think you have to use them. Because if he doesn't win, he could run second or third or fourth, whatever, if you're playing supers or whatever. So he's tough to completely throw out, but he's difficult to embrace. I that's the way I feel about him. War of Will, certainly leading up to the Louisiana Derby, this guy showed he had plenty of ability. What was he beating? What kind of competition? He was at, before Louisiana Derby, he was at kind of a similar level to where we find Always Mining, where he's winning his races with confidence and you know, dusting his competition, but how much is that competition? Well, then he gets to the Louisiana Derby, has an unfortunate break where kind of, you know, he injures himself a little bit. That race is no good. So then in the Kentucky Derby, he's been off now. He hasn't had a meaningful race since February 16th. That's quite a long time to go into the Kentucky Derby. He's sitting a pretty good trip the whole way, saving all the ground, tucked in behind the leaders, turning for home. Jockey Gaffleon moves him out around the leader, and then the incident occurs where they all come together, and he's kind of the meat in the Derby sandwich there for a little while. But after the incident, and this is where it gets cloudy for me, after the incident, He didn't run on. He didn't do anything. And would say, well, the incident caused him. He was moving fine. He just didn't gain any ground. And in fact, he lost, you know, quite a bit of ground. He finished eighth, and that bothers me about his finishing that race. Now, he may have needed the race. He's been off, as we said. He hadn't had a meaningful race since February, mile and a quarter. He may have just gotten plain old tired, and that race will now have him ready, fit and ready to run a good race in the Preakness.
Yeah.
The other interesting thing is, what is he going to do? Is he going to go for the lead? Is he going to sit? He could sit a perfect trip like he did in the Derby, just behind the leaders if he wants to wait on the rail there. And he pulled the whole way in the Derby. Is he going to pull again? Those are all questions that, you know, make him a question mark.
Well, I could talk to you for the next 2 hours, but we're going to have to get to a break relatively quickly here. Who's your key horse that you're going to use on all your tickets in the Preakness?
My key horse is another Twist of Fate. That's my key horse. I was not happy by two things that happened at the draw. Number one, he drew a 12 hole, which I was not happy with. It's not death, but it sure didn't help things any. It's not birth either. and the fact that he was late at 6-1 odds, I think I was expecting a lot more than that, more like 10, 12-1. But I think this horse's last two races, which he did not win, but ran very well in both of those races, had a little bit of trouble in both of them, just enough to keep him from winning those races, and I think he's one of these kind that shows up every time. He can be on the lead, he can be close up, he'll kick. I just think he's an in-the-money horse at a price. You know, he's a kind of a key exotic horse for me.
Well, that's a cool horse to use. I mean, he does try every time. He's never away from the wire. I mean,
That's exactly it. He tries.
Yeah.
He tries.
Yeah.
I don't know how good he is, but he sure tries.
Well, that's the kind of race it is this year. It's a question of class and ability, and when it all comes together, and it's going to be interesting to see who pulls it off. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. You know what else is the biggest question is the pace in this race. How much is going to happen up front? I mean, I see a horse like Warrior's Charge. You better be careful.
because if they leave him alone up front, if everyone believes all this 20-1 shot's not gonna do anything under Castellano, could you have a hotter jock going into the Preakness?
No.
He was five yesterday.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I mean, and if you leave him alone and think he's going to come back to you, you might be in trouble. Brad Cox, does he do anything wrong these days?
he was hot yesterday too. So
exactly, yeah. Exactly.
We're gonna have him on in a little bit.
You could do worse with those two runners. Now you guys are on the internet, and you know, you're also on local radio.
Yeah, yeah, we're on Sirius XM and streaming on our website, horseracingradio.net.
Oh, just Sirius at the website, because I'll tell you, the other day when Brad Cox, you know, he had Warriors Charge, or no, he had the other horse. Brad Cox's other horse.
Owendale?
He had Owendale already in the race, and then he put Warriors Charge in. And I explained to my wife, I said, well, you know, Brad Cox, he entered another horse. He's going to have two horses in the Preakness. And she said, so? I said, well, that just proves the old adage. Two cocks are better than one.
Oh, boy. It's a good thing we're on Sirius.
That's why I
asked. All right. Johnny D, Express Bet, kingpin, expert handicapper, all-around great guy. And he's still married. So, girls, you're out of luck.
As far as I know.
Thanks for being with us this morning. Thanks for taking the time. Always a pleasure. Never too busy.
Jude, I enjoy listening to you, and your handicapping is superb, and I miss hanging out with you.
Yeah, well, we'll catch up soon. I'm sure we'll be at a racetrack near you sooner or later.
Absolutely.
All right. That was John DeSantis from ExpressBet, and just a fantastic time. I also want to remind you that you don't want to miss any of the American Classic racing coverage like only Blood Horse Magazine and Tablet can bring you. Plus, right now, you can sign up for the Blood Horse Triple Crown Special, which is 12 weekly issues for only $12. Go to bloodhorse.com/TC to sign up now. And if you have an iPad or tablet, you can get each issue as soon as it's released without any waiting. That's bloodhorse.com/TC. And this is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by FarmPaint.com.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony's Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony's Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at tonysteaksandseafood.com.
Maryland, it's the day we've all been waiting for. It's Preakness Stakes Day, which means the 144th running of the Preakness Stakes breaks from the gate at 6:48 p.m. See which contender will capture the second jewel of the Triple Crown and join in Maryland's biggest party, Infield Fest 2019. This year's lineup features headliners including Logic, Kygo, Diplo, Juice WRLD, Fisher, and Frank Walker. It's not too late to get your tickets. Go to infieldfest.com for more info. Preakness, second to none. We'll see you there.
Castleton Lions is proud to introduce precocious multiple graded stakes winner Protonico for the 2019 breeding season. A Son of Giants Causeway out of an AP Indy mare, Protonico rolled to a 12 3/4 length victory in his debut as a 2-year-old before taking the Grade 3 Smarty Jones and Grade 3 Discovery Handicap at 3, followed by an ultra game win in the Grade 2 Ali Sheba at Churchill Downs in his 4-year-old season. Protonico joins the Castleton Lions stallion roster that includes multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti and Blue Blood sprinter Justin Phillip. Gio Ponti is the sire of Eclipse champion Dre Fong, Canadian Classic winner Sir Dudley Diggs, and stakes winners Miss Technicality and America's Tale. While Justin Phillip is represented by exciting stakes-winning filly Safe to Say and stakes place runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing. Protonico, Gio Ponti, and Justin Phillip standing at Castleton Lions.
Yo, guys, they call me Jersey Joe, but it's only Joe Bravo. Call me whatever you like. Just so happy that you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by FarmPaint.com.
Coming to the quarter pole, Selcourt has shrugged off the brief bid from Just a Smidge. Secret Spice, Paradise Woods, Mopetism, Marley's Freedom has a lot of work to do. Exuberance picking it up from well behind there at the top of the stretch. And Secret Spice runs right by Selcourt. Now Marley's Freedom is kicking into high gear. But it is still Secret Spice with a commanding lead, a 16th from home. And Secret Spice will romp home in the Beholder Mile. Marley's Freedom gets up for second. Then it was Paradise Woods in front of Selcourt and Mopetism.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. This is Jude Feld. I'm in the Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios. And we're going to be joined by Max Hodge from Fasig Tipton. Max, very instrumental in the Fasig Tipton operation and getting all the horses ready for the Mid-Atlantic sale coming up next week. Good morning, Max.
Good morning, Jude.
How's it going?
Everything's great. We've got some pretty good activity on the sales grounds here this morning, but it'll be slowing down before too long as everybody works their way over to Pimlico for the races.
Yeah, I imagine if you wanted to, today would be the day to lollygag around the sale grounds and look at horses at your leisure. But yeah. Why would you want to miss this Preakness? It's fantastic.
You better get over to the Preakness today. But if you wanted to look at horses, you wouldn't have to wait on too many today.
That's right. Be easy pickings. Do you like anybody in the Preakness today?
You know, I think I'll have to give out the Fasig Tipton exact. The Bodie Express was actually in this sale last year. He was a $37,000 RNA, so you could have bought him for probably $40,000 and had yourself a Preakness horse this year. And then Signal Man, he was a $32,000 Fasig October, Kentucky October yearling by Kenny McPeak. So we'll be pulling for the home team today.
There you go. Yeah, I'm a Signal Man fan myself. He was one of two horses that I bet in the future book. The other one won a stakes the other day, so I had the right idea, just to not the right stakes. we had the rejoin clip with Secret Spice, and she's a graduate of the Mid-Atlantic sale as well.
She sure is. She was $125,000 buy out of here. Little Red Feather picked her up, knocked out a grade one with her. You know, this is a great sale, all price ranges, from Discreet Lover, who's another Discreet Cat that brought $10,000. He goes on to win the Jockey Club Gold Cup and earnings to date of $1.4 million, on up to, you know, the top-end horses like Army Mule, who sold for $825,000 and won the Carter, now standing at Hillendale. So there are horses here in all price ranges that go on to serious success on the racetrack, so it's a great sale to shop.
Yeah, it's got really almost a cult following. You know, people go every year. They can't wait to get there and see what's being offered. You get horses from all over the place, and it's kind of an interesting sale from that standpoint. You don't have to be, you know, like the greatest pedigree or what some people would call a book one horse or whatever. You know, you can find horses at every level, and we know that there's plenty of good horses that are purchased for a lot less than, you know, $1 million. So discreet lover. I mean, is there a cooler horse than him? I mean,
it's a great story. And we are working with the Hennigan brothers to do some video work for us, and they did a little clip. It's out on YouTube now and sharing it on Instagram and socially, and you know, it's pretty cool to watch that video and the story that he has, and you know, there's a lot of success stories like that, and it's a you know, it's a great story.
Yeah, well, I mean, Fasig Tipton's replete with stories like that. All you have to do is go to the pavilion and look at all those plaques that are there and see all the great horses that were sold through the ring at Fasig Tipton, and it's just you know, a long relationship with clients that you guys have, and people are very loyal to you, and you put out a good product. I mean, the Saratoga sale is another situation where, you know, the horses are expensive, yes, but I mean, there's some really fantastic horses that come out of that sale.
Yeah, that's a great sale. It's something we're just putting the finishing touches on right now. This is decision time for people where they place their yearlings. So getting the catalog put together for our July yearling sale, as well as the Saratoga Select and the New York bred sale up there. So we've got that right around the corner. And as soon as we finish up here, new on our schedule for 2019 are the sales we're going to do out at Santa Anita. We've got the two-year-old in training sale coming up. They'll breeze there on June 3rd, and then we'll sell them on Wednesday, June the 5th. So that's a new venture for us. We're really looking forward to being out there.
Yeah, California needed a sale, maybe even a couple of sales. It's been kind of a desert out there for selling horses for quite a while, and I'm glad you guys are going to try that, and I'm sure that eventually it might take a few years to get it really rolling big, but if anybody's going to do it well, you guys are the ones to do it.
Well, we appreciate that. We're really looking forward to it.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure the horsemen are too, because, you know, California's kind of like an island. It's out there by itself, and there's no tracks to ship to. And, you know, you really have to create your own business there. And I think that'll go a long ways. Is the July sale closed yet, or is it still open? I think I read it was closing soon.
Well, it's actually going to go to press. We'll take final entries early next week, and then it'll go to press shortly thereafter. In conjunction with the yearling sale there in July, we have the Horses Racing Age sale, and that's something that, you know, entries are just now starting to trickle in, and that's unique in that we don't print and ship a catalog in advance of the sale. We do mostly online, and then once you arrive on the sales grounds, we do have a printed catalog, but it all comes together late. But it's a sector of the market that's grown for us, and you know, it's a great sale and a great outlet and a great time of the year in advance of the Saratoga meet, the Del Mar meet. You know, Kentucky's in transition with Churchill just finishing up, so, and a lot of these places are offering ship and win, so it's a good chance to come in and buy a horse and take to a new track and get some incentives for shipping there.
Yeah, no, the Del Mar program I know is insanely popular, and there'll be a lot of Californians coming to look at those horses, because you can run for some huge money at Del Mar.
Right, we've seen a lot of new faces coming in, and it helps the yearling sale as well to get those guys coming in shopping both sales.
So what are we looking like as we head down the road? We're going to have the July yearling sale here in Lexington, and then on to Saratoga. Have you seen some horses that you're already in love with?
Oh yeah, no, there's some superstars out there, and now it's just a matter of getting them committed to the sale, and it's a really good crop of yearlings this year, and we're looking forward to the sales.
Yeah, no, it should be fun, and of course, you know, Saratoga is always a highlight. It's so interesting to me how the whole town comes out on opening night of Saratoga, and they act like they have a lot of money, even if they don't.
That's right. Sometimes we even get a couple of them bidding on horses that don't have the money.
That's not good. Yeah, we try to avoid that, but I think it's great. It's great for the city of Saratoga that that the people are interested in. They come out and they really enjoy it. They have a few drinks and get to see the beautiful horses and the beautiful people. It's always very exciting. The opening night of Saratoga Sale, there's really nothing like it.
It really is. It's a giant cocktail party with the horse sale there, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think I've heard that. Well, we appreciate you spending a few minutes with us, and anything we can do to help you get the word out for any of your sales, you just let us know. And of course, we're at your service. We thank you for everything you do for our show.
Hey, Jude, I appreciate it, and good luck today.
All right, you too. That was Max Hodge from Fasig Tipton, and he's a great guy. In case you didn't notice, Max does a fantastic job. If you need anything, just call Max. Call Fasig Tipton, ask for Max Hodge, and he will help you with anything that you need. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Derby and the Triple Crown.
Tenda Equine and Pet Care Products have been keeping world-class equine athletes happy and healthy for generations. Keep your equine athlete looking and performing well with Tenda Next Generation Wound and Skin Care Treatment. Along with nutritional supplements, leg and muscle care products, salves, hoof care, poultice, topical aids, and grooming products. Visit TendaHorse.com today.
The sixth running of the Grade 2 Penn Mile is set for Saturday, June 1st at Hollywood Casino at Penn National, featuring some of the best three-year-old turf horses in the country. A day that features four match series races in addition to the Penn Mile and Penn Oaks. Plus, there will be three all-stakes pick fours with a 15% takeout. With a special first post of 2:45 p.m. Eastern, you won't want to miss this exciting day at Hollywood Casino at Penn National. It's the Grade 2 half-million dollar Penn Mile Saturday, June 1st at Hollywood Casino at Penn National.
Adina Springs Stallion Mucho Macho Man is a sire in the making. A precocious juvenile, classic three-year-old, and dominant older horse.
Mucho Macho Man wins the 126th Suburban in a dazzling time.
Mucho Macho Man wins the Risen Star.
Mucho Macho Man! He did it over Will Take Charge!
Mucho Macho Man's first crop includes grade one place three-year-old Mucho Gusto.
Mucho Gusto, impressive in victory, cruises home by five easy lengths.
And talented three-year-old filly Mucho Unusual.
And this is going to be an authoritative score for Mucho Unusual all the way in the Cal Cup Oaks.
A top five second crop sire in 2019, Mucho Macho Man, standing at Adina Springs. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
In Kentucky, our biggest celebrities have four legs, and thanks to Kentucky Proud Horse Country, you can now have unprecedented access to these equine stars. From bowling barn to finish line and beyond, you can see it all. Up-close experiences at our stud farms, nursery and sport horse farms, clinics, a training track, a feed mill, and aftercare facilities will open your eyes to the dedicated care these equine athletes receive for a lifetime. And don't forget to grab a free passport on your tour and start collecting stamps at every location you visit. Book now at visithorsecountry.com.
Alter Nation was the co-second leading second crop Kentucky sire with five black type stakes winners, nine black type horses, and well over $2.5 million in earnings. Alter Nation counted Grade 3 Super Derby winner Limation and Gulfstream Stakes winner Alter Moon as tops from his first crop of runners. Already this year, Alter Nation has the brilliant filly Serengeti Empress, easy winner of the Grade 2 Rachel Alexandra Stakes at the Fairgrounds. By Distorted Humor, millionaire, graded stakes winner, Alter Nation stands at Pin Oak Stud.
Hi, this is Shug McGahee, and I really enjoy listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by FarmPaint.com.
Owendale swinging very wide at the quarter pole, and Owendale has picked up about five positions in the span of a 16th of a mile. Royal is going to be running late, still eight lengths from the lead, but Owendale comes blasting off the far turn for the lead. Nix goes second, another twist of fate. Third, Swainio is in fourth. Chang is fifth. Owendale, final furlong of the Stone Street Lexington. Another twist of fate runs on towards second. Swainio third. Owendale, Floron Giroux to win it at 12-1.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. This is Jude Feld in the Jimmy Johns of Lexington studio, and we are going to be joined now by trainer Brad Cox. Brad, good morning.
Good morning, Jude. How you doing?
Good. How'd you sleep last night?
Really well. Long day yesterday.
Long day, but fun day, huh? How's it to break a track record and drop it by so many points?
Well, she's a talented filly, but, you know, it was an amazing performance. Very, very proud of that filly. She's very talented, and she put it together yesterday and ran a tremendous race.
Yeah, that was just something beautiful to watch. If you like fast horses, Kofife is a very fast horse, and she took it to him yesterday. A very impressive win, and it looks like a lot of blue sky for her on the horizon, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. She looked great this morning. She looked great yesterday afternoon after the race. You know, when they run that fast, you always got to, I guess, be a little concerned with how they're going to look the next day or what it's going to take out of them. But, you know, honestly, she looked amazing this morning. Walked her for 25, 30 minutes and then grazed her for another half hour or so, and she really seemed to bounce out of the race in good order. So very pleased with the way she looked this morning.
That's great. That's the best news you can have. It's always touch and go. You're right. The faster the horse, the more you got to worry about him. That's for sure. You did a great thing in the Black Eyed Susan. Eulalie really made a step forward and looked for a minute like she was going to win the whole thing.
Yeah, you know, we thought she would, you know, like the mile and an eighth. You know, on figures, I kind of thought she was a step below. We had to maybe do something to close the gap. And I thought Joelle did a fantastic job. You know, she broke well. She was down on the inside. She broke well. He saved every inch of ground. Gave her a tremendous ride. And, she really showed some heart and determination to battle back and, you know, just nearly defeated. But a huge effort and very, very proud of that filly and what she was able to do yesterday with, you know, obviously adding to her value with the graded placing. And Mr. Dobson owns the family as well. So a big update on some pages for his broodmare band.
Yeah, that's great. She ran a terrific race. And then in the 13th, the Allaire DuPont Distaff, you won that one too. I mean, geez, that's fantastic. What a day.
Yeah, this is a nice filly. We thought a lot of her. It took us a while to get her to the races. She just started racing last summer at Ellis Park, and she's a really nice filly. She had a setback as a two-year-old, and we give her all the time she needed, and she came back, and she's, you know, once again, Mr. Sather owns the mare, and it was a big update for his mare as well, and her, this filly being by Curlin, obviously, residual is much more, you know, she's worth a lot more today than she was yesterday this time, so. A very nice filly, and Louie once again did a good job, you know, as far as the trip she received, and really had to fight hard to get there, and she showed some determination and grit, and a very nice filly.
Well, you can see you have a way with the ladies, and you bring these fillies and mares along slowly and run them through their conditions, kind of Shug McGahee style as you move forward to the stakes, and it's obviously paid off for you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's with these fillies and with them having pedigree, that's the goal, is to get black type, you know, graded black type and make them stake winners. So, I felt like we got a lot accomplished yesterday with these fillies we ran at Pimlico, and, we'll have some luck today with the Colts and the Preakness.
Yeah, well, that's a great way to start, and got to give you and your crew a lot of confidence going into the Preakness. You've got, you know, two fantastic entrants, and looks like you have a big shot. Let's talk about Owendale first. He won the Lexington Stakes at Keeneland. I was in a handicapping contest that day and bet $100 to win on him, and was richly rewarded. It catapulted me up to almost in contention. But I have a soft spot in my heart for him. He ran huge that day. Got a great ride from Giroux as well. Talk a little bit about him and how he's coming into the race.
Fantastic. I mean, his couple works leading up to the Lexington were phenomenal. He just needed that time between the Risen Star and the Lexington. But his works have been phenomenal leading into the Lexington, and, you know, more of the same leading up to the Preakness. So I feel like the spacing's good, the time. You know, he's really just moving forward and just all the things you want to see in a horse, as far as, you know, just the way he's traveling, his works, and I expect a big effort out of him. With his running style, I think you have to have, you know, you have to have some luck. You know, obviously he's not going to be on the lead or anything or super, super close. So I think he's going to have some things develop in front. And, you know, with that being said, you know, we'll see what happens. It's ultimately be up to Florent. Potter's race in Lexington was super impressive. You know, they weren't going that fast. He had just a horse or two beat going up the backside. Honestly, when they turned up the backside, I said, well, this is not where we want to be. But when Florent pushed the button, he responded well and, you know, put in a really nice run around the turn. And it was a very, very, very nice performance. And if he can duplicate that, he will be in the mix, you know, at the end of the race.
Yeah, well, he's got such a nifty pedigree into mischief out of a Bernardini mare. Very versatile and can do a lot of things, those both sides of the family there. And it was a spectacular run. I mean, he just looked like, wow, I'm just going to blow these horses away. I mean, that run he made on the turn was really something to look at. So even though you've got him in and he's doing well and looks good, you decided kind of last minute to put in Warrior's Charge, and he looks like he might be the speed of the race. Talk about him a minute.
Yeah, he very well could be the speed of the race. And this horse is this is a tough horse. This horse is I like this horse a lot. You know, I mean, just being honest, I mean, I think the mile and a 3/16 is a little bit of a question mark, but this horse will run a big race. He is doing extremely, extremely well. And he to say he's got his game face on, we took him over and schooled him yesterday, and he's ready to run. If he can get the distance, he's going to be very, very tough to catch. And once again, he doesn't have to be on the lead, but I just think naturally his where he's going to be comfortable, where he's going to hit his best stride is probably going to be, you know, obviously very close. And you know, ultimately, that'll be up to Javier as to where to place him.
Yeah.
He's a pilot. Put 100% trust in him, and I'm expecting a big effort out of this horse today. I really like what I'm seeing. I like what I was seeing, and even since I've got the Baltimore, I mean, even more. I mean, he's really doing well and touting himself.
A lot of horses seem to pick it up when they get to Pimlico. I don't know why that is, but I covered that race for enough years in person to realize that some horses really get to that track and it's like they get rejuvenated. They pick it up a step. Is that the way he's been?
Yeah, absolutely. Both of these really have. I mean, you know, honestly, it's funny you said that. I was walking down the horse path the other day with one of them, and I thought, you know, anytime a horse goes to a new place, a new environment, you know, there's a lot for them to look at. And, you know, obviously here at Pimlico, there are a lot of tents in the infield. And obviously, either one of my colts had been here before, so. You know, whenever a horse is in a new environment, I think they tend to, you know, pick their ears up a little more and look around and check things out and just kind of, you know, puts a little pep in their step, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, well, he certainly come around his last two starts, and it seems like being on the lead absolutely suits him, and I think he can do that today. The only guy that probably had a better day than you yesterday was Javier Castellano, so you got the right rider too.
Yeah, I told Louie after he won with My Lady Curlin, I said, man, you can't let Javier win them all. but he had a heck of a day, and, you know, he's, you know, I'm very, very happy we ended up with him in the Preakness, and, you know, he's got a hot hand. Hopefully it rolls over into today.
Yeah, it's kind of nice, too, when you have, you know, an entry, albeit out-coupled in the race, you have a speed horse and a closer, so they're not going to fight with one another.
Yeah, right, exactly. You know, when Marshall Graham presented the idea of the Preakness, you know, as far as the trainer goes, I mean, it wasn't going to change what I did with him as far as training for the Black Eyed Susan, or not the Black Eyed, I'm sorry, Sir Barton or the Preakness. And just thought, you know, ultimately I left it up to those guys, you know, they're the owners, and it's, you know, they you know, supported me for a long time. So if they want to take that shot, let's, you know, give this horse an opportunity. And, you know, I feel like they feel, and I do as well, there's a tremendous upside if he can, you know, be right there at the end. But he's a nice horse, and, you know, Marshall did say, you know, it's not as if he'll get in Owendell's way. So, you know, if anything, it may help his cause. But, you know, someone asked me yesterday or a couple of days ago, like, was he a rabbit? I was like, I don't think anyone's going to, from another stable, is going to put up $150,000 to, you know, help another client out with with trying to win the Preakness. So he's not a rabbit. We think he's a legit horse. And for him to run the two races back-to-back in 28 days showed that he's a real horse. Like I said earlier, it's just a little bit of a question mark with the distance. But, you know, this track played the way he probably needs it to be playing yesterday. We'll see what happens today with the track.
Yeah, well, his numbers keep getting better, and he's really coming around at the right time, as people like to say. So I think he's got a big shot. You've been doing so well this whole year and last year too. What do you attribute it to? Is it just a lot of good horses, or what's made the difference in your stable?
Good horses and help. And I'm going to put help number one. I mean, just like I was telling my wife the other night, like, you know, we've got four assistants, and I mean, I just, you know, they're unbelievable. All these guys that we have in place are just at each location are just where we just, you know, it's a great team we have in place, and it works really well. I mean, these guys have been with me, some of them as long as 9-10 years, and, four or five years. All these guys have been with us a long time. It's a total team effort. And, you know, I can't say one over the other, but, you know, obviously good horses and talented horses, and, you know, very thankful for, you know, the opportunities, great clients that allow us to, you know, not only run horses where they belong and compete, but to give them time when they need it. You know, when horses aren't quite moving the way we like, you know, send them out, have them evaluated, and, you know, just give them time, let them drop their head and pick grass when need be. But I think that's the biggest thing is, you know, without a doubt, help and talent and clientele that's, you know, trusting us with the talented horses.
Yeah, the help is so key, and the longevity of the help. There's nothing better than having a staff that's been with you for a long time, you know, because they know what you want. They know what you expect. It becomes almost automatic, you know, how everything runs, and it just is such a pleasure. It takes so much pressure off the trainer.
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, when you get so many horses, it basically comes down to just, you know, good quality help and, you know, guys you can trust. And, you know, I think my guys are all aware that, you know, never really get upset with anyone. You know, it's just, you know, just tell me the truth, and, you know, we're all on the same page, and it really works out well.
Yeah, well, the proof is in the results. I mean, there's not too many trainers' names I circle on my past performances, but yours is one of them. And your horses are always alive. They may not always win, but they're always alive. So congratulations on a job well done. Good luck today. And we really appreciate you taking the time on what has to be a really busy morning for you.
Thanks, Jordan. Thanks for having me on, and good luck today.
Thank you. That was Brad Cox. And he's got Owen Dale and Warrior's Charge in the Preakness Stakes. Going to be an absolutely fantastic race today. Very exciting race. Lots of horses in with a shot, and he has two big chances. So we appreciate him coming on and sharing with us what's going on at his stable. This is the Equine Forum on HRN, presented by FarmPaint.com.
Springtime tips and fun facts from Paul, Kristen, and Dexter at Total Wine & More.
Did you know there were over 1 million bubbles in a glass of champagne? Did someone say brunch?
Wine is made in virtually every country in the world, and I'm ready to give you a tour to find the right one.
Ham's sweet and salty richness pairs perfectly with a juicy Pinot Noir.
Now with two locations in Lexington. Visit our newest store in Hamburg, off Sir Barton Way. Shop online at TotalWine.com. The selection is ridiculous.
Cheers!
Record prize money for horsemen and great racing highlight the 145th spring meet at Churchill Downs. Churchill will be $8 million over 2018 with $12 million in stakes purses and $18 million in overnight races. Maiden races during the spring meet will be worth $85,000, up from $53,000 last year. And allowance purses will range from $87,000 to $94,000. Record prize money and great racing.
this spring at Churchill Downs.
Fans, it's time for the middle jewel in racing's Triple Crown, so come do the Preakness Stakes today at Santa Anita. Don't miss a minute of the action from Pimlico, and with our admission gates opening Saturday at 7 a.m., you can bet on a tremendous Preakness Day undercard. First post time for a 10-race program here at Santa Anita is at 12 noon. We've also got our Preakness Betting Challenge on Saturday, as well as a Preakness Day Trackside Package and a Preakness Day Party in the Chandelier Room. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Airdrie Studs' Summer Front is poised to skyrocket to national sire prominence with his first crop of two-year-olds in 2019. A multiple stakes winner at two, this talented son of Warfront went on to win her place in 12 graded stakes with lifetime earnings of more than $1 million. With an explosive turn of foot, Summer Front routinely recorded times of a mile and 33 in some of the best grade one mile races in the country and possesses everything it takes to be an important sire for years to come. Airdrie Studs' Summer Front. Think about it.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere or visit centralequipment.com.
Power.
Caracondi has won.
Passion.
It's Caracondi winning by about a neck or so.
Performance.
Caracondi and O'Donnell. Caracondi.
Caracondi, a son of Bernstein out of a Sunday Silence mare with five-time champion Miesque as his third dam. Caracondi recorded three grade one victories while earning more than $1.9 million. A precocious juvenile, Caracondi recorded a grade one win at two before taking the prestigious French 2000 Guineas at three, followed by an electrifying stretch run in the Breeders' Cup Mile to defeat older horses with a final time of 1:32 and 4/5. First crop yearlings by Caracondi sold for up to $220,000, and his first two-year-olds impressed at the OBS March sale, with a filly breezing in 9 4/5 seconds and selling for $365,000 to Breeze Easy LLC. Caracondi, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
Hi, I'm Kieran McLaughlin. I'm so hot at this meet because I listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by FarmPaint.com.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum. This is your host, Jude Feld, and we haven't talked about the poll question. We've had lots of guests. We've been pretty busy, but the poll question today was, who will win today's Preakness? A, a Kentucky Derby runner, or B, a new shooter? And so far we've had 61 votes. 72% say a new shooter is going to be the Preakness Stakes winner. So that's kind of interesting because Derby runners have been successful over the years, but a lot of people are into the new shooters this year, and there's plenty of them to choose from. So I know we've talked about the Preakness quite a bit, I'm liking Always Mining a lot. I like Signalman, Bourbon War, and War of Will are my top four. I'll probably use some of the other horses in there as well, and Exactas and Trifectas and stuff. Very difficult race, but I think spreading is going to be the key. Another race I like on today's card is the fifth race at Pimlico. That's the James Murphy Stakes. English B had a really kind of rough trip last time, got shuffled back like a harness horse, didn't run that badly, has good turf figures, and I think he's going to be overlooked by the public. I was looking at some of the public handicappers today, and a lot of people are leaving him off. I think that's a mistake. I would use English B in that race, and Real News, who's a very nice up-and-coming young horse. He's got a lot of talent for Al Stahl Jr., and he's stretching out today. It's not the easiest race, but he's better than your average horse, so I would keep an eye on those two in the James W. Murphy Stakes. So it was a great morning. We had a lot of fun. We want to thank everybody for helping us out today. Bob Baffert and Tom Leach, Kip Elser, Kelly Rubley, John DeSantis from ExpressBet, Max Hodge from Fasig Tipton, and trainer Brad Cox. Everybody put their best foot forward and helped me out a lot. It's not easy to do a show by yourself, and it really helps when you have good guests. We want to remind everybody, today's Preakness Day coverage is on Sirius 219 XM 201. The undercard coverage is 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time, and the Preakness 144 coverage is 5 to 7:30 in partnership with NBC Sports and Westwood One. So tune in, and if you don't have access to any of that, you can listen on your phone, your tablet, in your car, horseracingradio.net. Thanks for listening. Good night, Barbados.